Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, you're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Lu Yu Wildove and Gray Eyes Smith. The show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called called Late Night Poets. It is a free poetry site, and we host these shows. These shows are made possible by anthologies that we have available on Amazon.com under the Late Night Poets moniker. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. And tonight's show is based on open poetry as well as some contact poetry. So that's tonight's show. Thank you for joining, and we're going to get right to it. I'm going to check the studio real quick here. And nobody's on. Okay, so I don't know where to begin here. Begin with the open, with the poetry, I guess. The contest poetry. And I'll post that to the group. And this is called Love's Wonderfulness Well. There is no wonderful alone, no matter how creative or accomplished or constructive or completely contented. Wonderful is born and surges in connection and knowing each other while reaching far outside of self, beyond grasp and grip and gravity. Wonderful is wings born of you and I when we are more than merely ourselves, when we are bound beyond time and space, where two can become all that is wonderful. Wonderful waits, wandering where we wander, it drenches. That thirst that's drier than any desert is a wave of cool, clear liquid, refreshment splashing when we quench each other at the wonderful well. End poem. And he says in his author's notes, he says, wonderful is probably the best word that describes love, and love may be the most wonderful thing we all can experience. There's something more wonderful. I want to know it too. I loved it. It was beautiful, right? It really is full of love and tenderness and wishes of well-being for not only himself, but the world around him. And I thought he did a beautiful job. And that was by Jim Christ. So excellent job, Jim. And great read. Great write, Jim Christ. And hello, Fill My Eyes in the group. Hello, Passions Promise. It's nice to see you both. Excellent write. So I'm going to grab the next link and I'll post this to the group. Check the studio real quick here. And Miss Liu is running behind. All right. I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is called Going Steady by Ken Dahl. Sweaty palms, knees, shaking weak, with butterflies in stomach all week. Countless hours back and forth on the phone, waiting forever for Friday, stealing Dad's cologne. Carefully selecting my best clothes to wear with clean underwear, spending extra time for perfect hair. Fresh breath, Wrigley spearmint gum, turning into a man from Navy steps to walking. I want to run. My first time making out in backseat cars, wishing upon shooting stars. End poem. And I liked it. That's a, coming of age story as real as it can get. You can picture this guy getting ready for his big date and wishing upon shooting stars that it becomes what he hopes it will be as he runs into manhood. A fantastic job, Ken. Excellent, right? So I'm going to grab the next poem here. Okay. And hello, Bill. I hear you squeaking around in the background.
That's me. I just come here and pin up a little space and, you know, figured that was a good idea. Yeah. Could I come and hang out with you for a while until everybody else shows up and I wander off. But I like this poem by Ken Dowell. I thought it was really well done. It's that wonderful coming of age, as you said. And I like the details you put in it. So wonderful job. Great job, Ken, and thanks for sharing.
Great comment, Bill.
Sure.
Okay, so I posted the next poem, if you wouldn't mind, please, Bill.
Absolutely. As long as I can find it. You know, it's not always easy in my life. Go. It is Torres. I haven't seen him in a long time. We Sit Under the Same Night Sky by Edward Torres. We sit under the same night sky, thinking of one another. We cannot speak, confess our affirmations, watching the moonlight reflect off our eyes. Months have passed so fast. We shared dozens of kisses, held hands, hugged tightly. Aside, after every rushed minute we set aside to meet. The bottle next to me tempts me to run to you in the middle of the summer night, knock on your door and pull you close once you see me. However, my mind knows that we are in a discreet chapter of a new love story. Soon the stars will be the witnesses. The way your raven black hair flows in the midnight wind, my caresses along your olive skin, but your heart pounds when our lips meet. Love will be forever dedicated to the nights we spent apart.
Beautiful read. And, you know, when one finally gets to shout out to the universe, hey, we're in love after having to hide it for so long, that's a powerful thing. And I thought he did a great job describing that whole aspect of life. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought this was really nicely done. I think there was a great amount of detail in it. And I loved, the emphasis that he was put in, he put on their being together, and how important that really is. And someday, the way our heart up, right. I'll take the last stanza. Soon the stars will be the witnesses. Your raven hair flows in the night, in the midnight wind. My caresses along your olive skin. Our hearts pound. Our lips meet. The love will be forever dedicated to the nights we spent apart. So for every night that they're together, they're going to, celebrate and get past that time they were apart. I think that's a wonderful thing. It's a really, really nice piece. Thanks for sharing that with us, Edward. It's great work. Enjoyed it. I'll see you back.
Great comment. Thank you. Okay. I'm going to post the next poem here. This is by Bryant Stubb. And this is called Star Quote. I am so dope that my metaphors for greatness will be a thing that makes me famous. How's that for hope? I can proclaim these things because my ability is availability, but not to you, but rather the divinity that inhabits me. How's that for soliloquy? While you are trying to still adapt to your love yourself, I challenge myself to surprise myself because myself is not being challenged by yourself. So I decided to just be my own self and make more of myself because I love myself so much that I made more of myself. And now I can share myself with all the women who wants a part in my movie, starring myself and yourself as a co-star. So how about we make this all she wrote? How's that for a star quote? I can keep this up because my words are something that are out of this world because I give hope. Just watch Jordan Peele, new movie. That ship is my voice touching down. When you read upon my work, you will put it down and say, nope. I make you question everything, even your sexuality. I can make any woman submit because being with me, it's akin to bestiality. help I spelled that word right, because I never used the word bestiality. I will end this here because I don't want to make anyone jealous of the wordplay. But if you have something to say, then use your play on words and let's do a little wordplay for the audience. I'm available any day. And then in his author's notes, he said, I hope you all enjoy. And I enjoyed the forthright in your face attitude of this poem and its flow and its rhythm. It was just fantastically penned. What did you think, Bill?
You know, I think it was a strong write in the respect that, you know, it is in your face. And, you know, it goes on about, you know, I'm this and I'm all that. And it comes off very self-confident. There's other words that can be used, too, like, you know, like a little bit too sure of himself. But, hey, you know, I mean, we all believe what we believe in ourselves, and I go for that, you know. And he expressed it well, and I thought that was clever. It's a great write. You know, I'm not even sure. What is the quote? Help me out here, Gray. Help me out. Yeah.
The quote is, I love you more than all the stars in the sky, I believe.
Gotcha. Yeah, because after you read this, you know, and it was so straightforward and so straight up and, you know, talking about sexuality and all that, I looked down at I never know what the hell they call them. There's Christian, family, friendship, humor. I laughed and I went, kind of backed up for a second and went, wow. But it was well done, so I can't take that away from anybody, you know. Network, and thank you so much for sharing with us, Brian.
Wonderful comment, Bill. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Louie Wild Dove to the show. Hello, Louie Wild Dove.
Louie Wild Dove. Hello.
I'm mute.
I think it's a button, man. No, she was muted on our side, I think. Hi, Lou.
Hello, can you hear me? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you did a good job in reading that, and, you know, he's very sure of himself, and, you know, that must be nice. He's got a fabulous smile of positivity, and if he can find another female of that positivity, then they can just combust into the darkness of star travel.
Okay, I'm posting the next poem, if you wouldn't mind reading, please, Lee.
Okay, this is titled, How Much Do You Love Me, Grandma, by Francine One. When my grandchild would ask me, How much do you love me, Grandma? I'd say, I love you big. But then he says, how big? And I had to describe big. I would say bigger than all the stars in the sky. And he would say, boy, that's a lot of love. Then I would say, now times that by a zillion. And then they would laugh. It was a great way to measure love.
I liked it. Fantastic read, Liu. And, you know, this is such a touching little story that really, you can picture the grandson and the grandchild and the grandma, you know, having this conversation and her reaching out her arm, spreading it across the cosmos in her affection for him. So just a wonderful job. And what did you think, Bill?
I thought this was sweet. I really did. You know, sometimes it's really hard, like, you know, the kids or the kids will say, how much do you love me? I love you this much, and you put your arms out. You know, and it just reminds me of that. And I think that it's always sweet. And it is. It's a great way to measure love, you know. All the stars in the sky, and now times that by a zillion. You know, it's a whole lot of love. Whole lot of love. And it takes me back to that place and that time. My kids were little, you know, my grandson for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's always infinity and beyond now, you know, I mean, that's different.
that's what they say now. The kids understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a great piece, Francine, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Wonderful comments, everybody. And Louis, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I thought it was fabulous and uplifting, because you could honestly see the imagery. And then she just kept extending that love and extending that love and extending that love. You know, children, when they still love, they tell things like this. It's something they remember. And it's beautiful stories, beautiful poetry.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Lee. Okay, Bill, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
You're not getting me a little refresh dance. There we go. Oh. Hello, Frank. This one is called "We're Not All Meant to Be Stars" by Athlone Yates. Since I could first see, the stars were always above me. Ever since I wished upon one, I've waited for them to answer me. Ever since I first seen you, I've not spent a night without you in my mind, filling my mind with thousands of thoughts, ideas, and inspiration. Thousands of stars all over my brain, an infinite amount of bright, shiny, little, beautiful twinkles of light, all because of you, like a mysterious blanket of stars, and all for me, at home.
Wonderful read, Bill. And I liked it. You know, it was short, sweet, and descriptive. It was engaging and endearing. It really has that sense of somebody filling your light, your night with light, and that's a beautiful thing. So excellent write and excellent read, Bill. What did you think, Lou?
You know, you know, I think in some way we all wish upon stars and fallen stars. And, you know, and I actually like the angle that she took this in, because for some, she's not saying that she is the star, but she's saying it's the thoughts of you are like sparkling stars that made this beautiful blanket that covers her. And, you know, I thought that was exceptional because it was very honest. And, you know, sometimes we can't see the light within ourselves, but we see it in others, and we hope that that emotion and attention and love is returned, because I believe that when it's returned that we also shine like stars for this person. The love and the emotions that you have for them. I liked it.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And Bill, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a sweet write. I really enjoyed it a lot. And I thought there's nice imagery in that. And when you get to an infinite amount of bright, shiny, little, beautiful twinkles of light because of you, like the mysterious blanket of stars, all for me. I thought that was a lovely way to wrap this piece up. Yeah, there was just statements in here. And speaking to the other person and speaking of the other person. I thought it was nicely done, nicely said.
Great comment, Bill. Thank you. Okay, the next poem up. This is called "Under a Blanket of Stars," and it's by Poeta de Cabra. Darling, we got away from the city, hustle, bustle, and loud motor cars. We are out in the country, so quiet. Soon, we're making love under the stars. Just behind us, the tent is pitched, and the campfire is burning. Perfect night for making love, and for you, babe, I'm yearning. You point and gently sing, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." Then can you send us love from where you are? Moon is shining bright, my love. World seems to be at a standstill. Only noise breaking the silence is a melodic bird's whippoorwill. Just one big blanket of stars, a nice romantic moon glowing. One big, long, passionate kiss, and the blood is instantly flowing. Let's make love here in the open, way God and Mother Nature meant. much more exhilarating for sure than in that old two-man tent. We can make sweet, sweet love through to when night turns to morn, then fall asleep in each other's arms, naked as the very day we were born. As the stars slowly disappear, and with it the nice romantic night, again we'll passionately make love as flames of desire once more ignite. End poem. And, you know, I said making love under a blanket of stars is an endearing thought, you know. It's a beautiful picture that he paints of this romantic endeavor of these two lovers, and I thought it was just beautiful. What did you think, Phil?
I remember this piece from the contest I wrote for, and I thought, I still love it like I did then. I thought it was a bunch of beautiful imagery throughout this piece. And just emotions in it were so well expressed. I think it was tender and sweet. It's really nicely done. You know, a poetic kills me because he can go from one end of the spectrum to the other. You know, I remember the poetic boy, he devilish boy. He puts stuff up and I go, oh my God. And then he put stuff up that was so funny and just so well done with humor. I mean, not everybody can write humor. And then he'll put mm-hmm. something up that comes from the heart that really resonates with you. And I think that's just wonderful. It's nice that they can go, you know, that he can put things out there like that. And I think this was a great example of his kind and loving work. So I enjoyed it very much.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Bill. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was beautifully read. His imagery is just so beautiful. Without, and you do, you know, when you're with somebody and you're comfortable, you know, when something pops in your mind, you sing these little ditties, and, you know, and it's endearing. It's endearing, and, you know, I love the idea of making love out in the stars, except where I live, we do it in the back of a truck, because we can't sleep naked outside because of skeeters and cougars, and well, your piss will eat us. So I would have liked to experience that, but that is like danger zone here.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Liu. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to post the next one up if you wouldn't mind reading this, Liu.
Okay. This is written by Tito Mostafis. Delirium in Khan's grassland. The vapor in monsoon air gone down. Khan's grasses has become dense green, burning in the sun, waiting for you. Ink has left the team of clouds, some open-billed storks scratching the blue canvas above, the kadama flowers drying out, tired waiting to see you in wet peacock blue sari. Come at least with fluffy cotton clouds, come to play hide and seek in the cons, when men or deer can stay fearless besides beer in the gypsy sky. Till then, I shall be waiting, watching the chittering pleasure trip in boat or vibrant selfie clicks around. End poem.
Beautiful read, Leah. And, I mean, it was a lot of imagery in that poem, and it was very descriptive as well. Come at least with fluffy cotton clouds, come to play hide-and-seek in the cons, when men or deer can stay fearless beside beer in the gypsy sky. And I really like the touch of nature woven into his poem of love. So fantastic job, Tito. And what did you think, Phil?
You're so quick, man. You are so quick. It was a lovely picture painted, and I thought the emotions in it were well expressed. I kind of liked it because it's not like every other piece we read. And it was nice to have the imagery reflecting his home country. And I have to say that, you know, I could be completely wrong, but that's what I get from it. In the vapor and monsoon air going down, the monsoon right there puts me in another place and another time. I'm burning in the sun waiting for you. It has left its hue of clouds. Open bill stork scratching the blue canvas above. And a kadama flower, I don't know what that is, but makes me want to find out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Peacock blue, sorry, I thought it was a nice touch as well. nice work. I very much enjoyed it.
Great,
so,
great comment, Bill. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just reading the comments. He says that Cons is a type of grass which blooms in autumn. Its flowers are fluffy white. You know, he said it's a beautiful imagery here with all the grasses. And, you know, I really like how where he said the ink has left the team of clouds. And then with the next sentence, he says some open-billed storks scratching the blue canvas above, you know, and then he talks about the flowers that are drying up. It must be very beautiful and lush where he is because they're short. And I really like that imagery where he, you know, for me, I could see the storks writing or opening the sky for poetry. And I thought that was lovely. It was really lovely.
Great comment. Thank you, Leah. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show, a.k.a. Captain B2.
Hello, Bobby. It's Bobby. Captain B2.
Good evening.
Welcome, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
I'm going to put you to work right away. I'm going to put you to work right away, though, if you don't mind.
Wow. No, I got my work shirt on.
Okay, so it's called Spectacular Stars by Poetic Prince.
Ooh. Only a prince? Don't I get a king? Okay. Here we go. Ooh, what a great, that's a great illustration. Okay, Spectacular Stars by Poetic Prince. Blue stars blaze boisterously. Orange stars, blindingly brilliant. Yellow stars, intense illumination. White stars, sizzling, stunning. Red stars, resoundingly radiant. Brown stars, gazing and glowing. Stars, bright, enormous, tremendous, gigantic. Temperatures of thousands of degrees Celsius. Nuclear fusion, reaction with hydrogen, then helium. Stars balanced with gravity and with fusion. Their gravity holding its home planet's orbits, super stellar, stunning, shining supercilious stars, beacons of light in the black velvet midnight twilight. All the stars, as much as possible, can be viewed this very night. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And in my comment, I said reading his poem felt like looking out at the Milky Way itself because it's so descriptive and engaging. I mean, you can see it all as he speaks it. So, wonderful job, Poetic Prince. And, Bill, what are your thoughts?
I'll tell you what I said when I read it the first time. I thought it was very nicely written. I thought there was great alliteration throughout. I thought it was just a really nicely written piece. That's another one that was we were happy to have on the book side. Like, blue stars blaze boisterously. Our stars blinding brilliant. I liked that first stanza, and I thought that it was a great lead-in. Took you to that the stars and being surrounded by the multitude of colors. Because stars, to me, I would assume, this would be kind of like a prismatic appearance. You can kind of get that, where you know, different colors and flavors, like diamonds, how they sparkle. Yeah. I thought it was nicely written, and I really enjoyed it. Nice work.
Great comment. Bill, thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
You know, I thought Bobby did a great job in reading this. What I liked about this was that he made us pay attention to this beautiful image, you know, especially, you know, when all these satellites send back pictures from areas and, you know, and you see the swirling galaxies and the nebulas and even the black holes and, you know, it's just all fascinating. It's the cosmos are just beautiful. And I really like, and I agree with Bill where she said it looks like diamonds, as it does. It looks like all kinds of jewels have been thrown out into heaven, and it's literally breathtaking. You're, you know, when you get, you're in an area where you can actually see the stars with all the light, without the light pollution, a whole another world forms before us. And I really love where he said, beacons of light in the black velvet midnight twilight. And, you know, it just is just something that it's to experience if you can, to get out, we're outside the, because we sponsored a boy from Korea, and he was going to school here, and he says in Korea they can't see the stars. I said, are you serious? He says, you guys got great stars, even though we got white pollution. So I drove out into the desert and to New Mexico, and he was just speechless. I mean, his eyes just teared because he had never seen that before. So I thought this was a beautiful poem.
Great comment.
And scientific.
Thank you. Absolutely. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I like the way he structured it, the introduction with all the different colored stars. And I did wonderfully, just a wonderful array, and the way he did just a very modest descriptor after each one. And I really liked it. Like Phil said, the alliteration is wonderful. It is a very sparse piece, and I think it benefits because of that. It just keeps it very simple. The gravity holding its home planet's orbits, all stars, as much as possible, can be viewed as very nice. And I agree with Lulu. I grew up in the city the first time. My parents and I went on vacation, and we were going to the Ozarks, and we're driving through backcountry, and I had never seen a sky like that before. It's like just someone had just taken the end of a brush and flicked it across the sky, and with all these little tiny bits of light everywhere. And it just, when you see that for the first time, it's beyond description. You never realize what's up there, especially when you grow up in a city. And then the first time I was in the high desert, a Joshua Tree with no moon,
beautiful. Wow.
22 shooting stars in a matter of hours. And we just laid out there all night long watching. It was just, it makes you feel at once awestruck and insignificant, because here you are on this little planet and you're just a little bleb, you're a flea, and there's just all this going on around you. So I think his verse captured it very nicely.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome Poetic Picasso, a.k.a. Frank, to the show.
Can you hear me?
Hola, hola.
We can.
Hello, can you hear me? All right.
Yes.
I'm always on a test and trial, you know. If my phone allows me, I'll stay as long as I can.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling.
Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that Bobby read?
No, I did not, but I did read it, and I thought it was, I did hear the comments, particularly what Bobby was saying. I thought it was a fabulous poem. I like the personification of the moon. As I was saying on the chat room there, that I love stars. I love the moon as well, and I just love the whole image here. The imagery here was just breathtaking. It was a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Are you able to read tonight, Frank?
I can try and give a go. I mean, as long as if my phone is acting up, what I mean by that, if it starts breaking up or it's slowing down, I'll definitely let you know. I mean, we can try, and I can just, I'll tell you if I'm able to read.
Okay, so the poem's up. She is the Moon by Beatnik.
Okay, that's the poem. All right. This is a poem here by Beatnik. It's called She is the Moon, and it goes like this. She is the moon in your darkest night, to bring you solace when you can't fight. Your demons fall, trail in her light. In your darkness she will give you sight. She is the moon in your darkest night. She gives luminescence, she gives you light. She guides you in your darkest times, so you can find the path that shines. She is the moon in your darkest night. She shines down upon you, full and bright. She brings you courage, she calms your fright. She is the moon in the night of life, surrounding you in love to heal your plight. End of poem.
Beautiful comment. I mean, beautiful read, Frank. And, I love the way it, his author's note says it's easier to be a ray of sunshine in the daylight than it is to be moonlight in the dark of night. And, he has a point there. But I really liked it. It was a wonderful tribute to the love of a woman and the power of her presence in life. So just a fantastic poem. And an excellent read as well, Frank. What are your thoughts, Bill?
I thought it was a wonderful write. I have to tell you, I was only listening with one ear because I had my other ear doing a project.
I'm sorry. I know it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I just, I always feel stupid when I don't have an answer because directed. sorry. I have to pass on this, Greg.
Okay. Leo, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really love the way Frank Ray does, and I really love this poem by Beatnik because, even though, yes, of course you can see everything in the daylight, but there's something about darkness to me that is very sensual, very alluring, and very mystic. It's almost trance-like. I've always, even as a child, and Phil and I have talked about this online due to, the severe abuse we grew up with. She was our mother, and the stars, were something that glistened and twinkled and just memorized us, and it is true here when she guides you in your darkest times so you can find the path that shines. There's something alluring and calming and allows you to go into thought, into thinking. And for me, the darkness is more alive to me than sunshine because of its beauty. This is a gorgeous poem. I really like it.
Thank you, Liu. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I'm glad I got to hear the other comments first because it really made me take a quick second look at this. And while the poem might be talking about the person's partner and how much they love them, this could also be any female role model or leadership figure in a young person's or any person's life. It could be a grandmother, a mother, an aunt, a neighbor. She's the moon in your darkest night. Demon's fight. And this is someone who is putting a hand out and helping someone learn and come through a bad patch. So in a way, I mean, this is almost like a Mother's Day poem, too. So it's beautiful.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I have to say that this is the poem I thought was read before. Apparently, I gave the wrong comments to the wrong poem. I wasn't able to hear the other one because I was having difficulties with the phone. the comments that I gave before were the ones for this poem.
Oh, I see. Okay. No problem. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Weaver, and she has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
Do you think you can leave me? Try. Please try. Let me watch you take 3 steps in any direction. All right. Go west, young man. The first step, you feel elation. You're really doing this. The second step, you're remembering that sweet, hot place that was yours alone. With the third step comes realization. No welcoming arms, enclosing and enticing. No soft lips, live hips. Now turn and come back home.
Well, beautiful read. And it's a touching poem, you know. It's very sort of melancholic, but very deeply engaging and powerful. I thought it was well read and well written as well. What are your thoughts, Phil?
I think that this was a great piece by Weaver. You know, in three mm-hmm. short sentences, I mean, she said, "Do you think you can leave him? Try, just try. You know, go ahead, give it a whirl." And then she turned around and turns it, flips it completely around, leads him right back. I think that she did that in a wonderful, wonderful way. It was enticing. It sounded enticing if she was talking to that person. If you were that person listening, you know, I think that's how it would play out. And, you know, that getting Santa was excellent. With the third step comes realization. The welcoming arms, enclosing and enticing. The soft lips, wide lips. And turn, come back home. You know, like, don't even think about leaving. Just come on back. Yeah. I think she said it very well. You know, great brevity. She created that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
This brought back so many different memories, you know, go west, son, like she talks about. If you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours. And, you know, in every relationship, things, because we're two separate entities, and I thought she brought this out beautiful. She brought out her side. You know, and then she also brought out their side, you know, you think you can leave. And, you know, and it is exciting to go on this wonderful golden brick road to achieve our dreams. But, you know, at the same token, what have you left, especially if you've been in a relationship? What are you leaving? I thought she brought that up beautifully. And, you know, sometimes you have to leave to find out that where you really belong is back with the person that you love. That, you know, it's just something I thought, I'm getting all twisted here because I got a million thoughts going in my head. But I thought this was wonderfully penned. And I love her voice.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I also really enjoyed it. Wonderful brevity. I like the way she's got it structured. It is just 3 steps, and all of a sudden, reality comes crashing down. And it's interesting because this could be applied to a relationship where the other partner has strayed, sees something mm-hmm. they think they like better, sees greener grass, you know, paradise on the other side of the fence, and you let them go without begging them. You say, go ahead, and let them find the reality. And sometimes they don't find it in time, and sometimes they do. And sometimes the atonement comes too late. But I like the way, with the third step mm-hmm. comes realization. No welcoming arms, enclosing, enticing, no soft lips. Now turn and come back home. And here's also where the other person who's walking away may realize they think that this person that's watching them go can't live without them. And they see the strength of this person watching them walk away, not begging them to stay. And all of a sudden it's given them a new appreciation of the strength of this person.
Absolutely, yes. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, at first I thought she was talking about a son or someone of a family. Mm-hmm. Then I had the image of a lover. You know, it was somewhat ambiguous to me in the beginning, but I thought the poem really, you know, it really demonstrated for me, you know, what Bobby was saying and what Lou was saying as well about that love, you know, the love that you have for that significant, you know, other, etc. You know, when you taste, it's like tasting wine, when you taste, you know, a variety of wine and you come to a particular wine that just, you know, it just sips in your mouth, that taste, and you're just immediately drawn to it. This is how I feel at times when we think about, you know, when we go in our relationships, we think of, you know, it, perhaps it doesn't happen on purpose, or sometimes it happens unknowingly, or sometimes it just happens and for no reason. But we usually think about that particular person that really meant a lot to us, and we always wonder, what if? So this poem really gave me that impression there of going from one spectrum to another, and it left me pondering there, just like it did for Louie and for Bobby as well. You know, that impression there was very, very stark.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Bill, you're up next to read, if you wouldn't mind, please. Okay. So I think Bill is busy at the moment. So I will go ahead and read this for Jack. This is called Underfoot. I'm underfoot, said the thread-worn carpet, weaving to and fro. Underfed and underpaid, underwater in the rainy spring. I'm underfoot too, said the full oak floor, scuffed and scratched. My planks cross-hatched, interlocked like knitted mittens. None see us, only clean us with a mop and bucket or broom, sweep, sweep across the room. Now the Roomba does the rumba, back and forth, tired dancer, struggling through a third matinee. End poem. And in his author's notes, he says, this is just a little ditty written in the dentist's office waiting for my wife. Peace. And I thought it was fantastic. I mean, you know, we don't really think about what we're walking on when we walk, even if it's, you know, suffering to hold our weight, whether it's, you know, a lawn or the beach or whatever. You know, we just kind of make our way through, and that's that. So very engaging and, you know, endearing thoughts in this poem. What did you think, Lee? No, I think she's still busy. Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoy this. It's very engaging. It I like pieces that point out that point a finger at things that we become inured to in everyday life: the sidewalk, the ceiling, birds singing around us. We tend to get swathed in cotton wool and just kind of pass through the day, without paying attention to what's around us. And I like this, the personification of the carpet and the floor and none see us, only clean us and mop and bucket or broom sweep sweep. You know, and it's, we it reminds me of a small ditty that I learned when I was a child. I wish that my room had a floor. I don't care so much for a door, but this walking around without touching the ground.
Never heard that. I like it.
I can't remember who wrote it. I wrote it down somewhere, but I like the fact that it indicates that we become contemptuous of the things that we see every day. And this poem has singled them out and says, hey, you know, what would you do if there was no floor? You know, I wrote something similar called Look for the Ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great comment, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I would say, first, Bobby, if that happened, we'd fall flat onto the floor. I thought this poem really, you know, he does have a wonderful ability for humor. And I did appreciate, you know, the notion of underfoot, you know, that really it really struck me there. But what I really appreciated was the whole notion of just observing, you know, observation. And I think he did a wonderful job using observation, using humor to describe to us what a day can actually be when you're just sitting there, you know, ruminating, you know, at a dentist's office. You know, I think all of us have been, you know, we've actually had a moment like this where we're not at the dentist, we're at the doctor, we're at the queue at the market or in the groceries, you know, and we actually do take time to just, you know, visualize, just to see what's around us. And we actually, you know, do see things that perhaps we take for granted. You know, and I find myself, you know, when I think about this poem, I think about myself as well, because I do this often when I go to places. I try to be conscious enough to, you know, if it's not with someone, you know, an individual, help out. If it's not pointing out something, if it's not checking up on the clouds or checking something, I'm always trying to be conscious of what I'm doing, because I realize that if I'm not conscious, how do I expect other people to be conscious?
Moment, in the moment.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you.
Great comment.
Lou, would you mind reading for Lou Jr., please?
Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to comment on Jack's poem. And when I didn't get to hear who read it, but, you know, I just loved listening to Bobby's and Frank's description, you know, of the things that, you know, I find that we all have a lot in common. You know, for me, it's like if I have to go into a doctor's office and there's no net, there's no TV or magazines, and you're just sitting there, what are you going to do? You're going to look around the room. And when I start looking around the room, I start seeing, like he does, like shapes and faces on the floor, moving dogs, clouds, and then the ceiling, like I'll count the tiles, and then I'll start looking at the little holes, and the little holes just start becoming, you know, images. And I find that extremely fascinating, you know, when I'm listening to everybody, you know, how this also connects us to poetry. You know, we write like that in our poetry. And, you know, I really, you know, but with me, the rumba is done with listening to salsa music while I'm mopping the floor. So
I was going to say that.
You know, yeah. You know, and you
do. There's nothing wrong with salsa.
You know,
it's good music.
I like, you know, cumbias or something where it's got a beat and I'm going back and forth with disco. And, you know, especially it's amazing to think you're bored, but you really aren't, because your mind is expanding, making all these different figures and everything. And, you know, it is tiresome, you know, to sit in a doctor's office anywhere from 30 minutes to 4 hours. It's torture. So we poets got to find a way to entertain themselves, you know, right? And we do. We entertain ourselves.
I agree.
I agree. Thank you for that, Lou. Great comment.
Mm-hmm. You forgot me, Greg. Made that make a
no, you were gone. You were gone when I was reading it. So I don't know how you expected me to know that you were going to comment.
Well, that's because I was in doing your business. I will attempt. You always give me poems with words of that. I've never seen before, which is so fascinating. Sassism.
I'll take those.
Soliform. Yeah, and Bobby will.
I'll take them.
If you wouldn't mind. Yeah. Would you please? Yeah, because I have trouble seeing little writing, tiny writing right now. And I'm not being sarcastic because I love this photograph that Luke has up. So please, Bobby, will you do the honor of reading Luke J.R.'s poem?
I've lost my way here. Hang on a second. Okay, we have.
Okay.
We have Staffism. Yes, Luke Jr. Oh, he loves doing that.
Yes.
He's very, very, very nimble mind, very agile. Okay,
yeah,
we have Scaphism, Soliform by Luke Jr. Scaphism, Soliform. No flower is able to lift the spirits quite like sunflowers. Stretching out along the curvy hills, holding grassy chills on the evergreen crumpled valley, resting assured like a nested warm reaching invitation of individuality. I kindly accept this invite with the softness and heartache. The sweet summer sun upon the mountaintops, little children holding onto hopes and dreams, all nestled deeply in a vase of broken seams. Entangled in the roots that hold steady, reaching out from the top like a wide open smile. I'm sure they'll be home. I've not seen them in a while, fluttering butterflies with freshly painted wings, heavenly hovering in the songbird that sings, looping around the hanging branches, forming rings, while the sunflower awaits the warmth of morning sun. Darkness may be hidden below in this vase of serenity. Beauty blossoms from the darkest of places, don't you believe? While the little girl holds on to fallen petals, the child smiles. There's something strange blossoming into a warm expression, and then there's something about something stumbling on the lip. A question? Kneeled in a white, fluttery dress, she deserves wings of an angel. Entangled in the branches within her mind, nestled in veins lost within the valley that is painted different in universal brains. Feeling detached, like the fallen petals, wishing to be whole again. Connected to the roots that hold her steady, she smiles for the morning sun. Standing taller than those beneath her, she's a sunflower, her face aglow like the face of a sunflower, a beautiful flower upon the crumpled envelope lays the words she wished to hear, holding tightly on the vase of dreams. Her lover is nearer. Why does it feel like this sunflower has been left with no light? Not even a glowing face can keep a smile growing so bright. Not even the roots of a lover can hold her together. She's fallen like the petals. She's fallen into darkness. Yet the roots stand steady. She's now ready. She's a sunflower, a beautiful flower. Wouldn't you agree? And come.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And that's an endearing poem. You know, it's so touching with its imagery. And the emotion that's in it. It's almost melancholic in bits, but you know, he really brings out the love and the light that the flower, the sunflower, brings. Just a beautiful, thought-provoking poem on the subject of a sunflower. So well done, Luke Jr., and great read, Bobby. What did you think of the poem, Bill?
She might be in the studio working on something.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I was just kind of trying to be quiet.
Okay.
I think the poem was wonderful. Really well written.
He called you out. Called you out, Phil.
I know. Well, I'm used to it. I work with Rex all the time. He's always messing with me. But, yes, I did enjoy the poem, and I thought the imagery was beautiful, and I thought it was really well told. The title totally throws me, because Scafism, what I saw is a
mm-hmm.
form of torture.
Yeah.
Where you take the mm-hmm. body and put it in two boats and let it bake in the sun. So maybe if you stretch it out, maybe you talk about the flower sitting in the window. But I don't know. He lost me with the title, but I enjoyed the poem very much. Nice work, Luke J.R. And let me know. Let me know. And it doesn't take much. You didn't miss it. So great job. Thanks.
Great comment, Bill. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was beautifully read by Bobby, and I want to thank you for doing that for me. I did look up the words, and for me, maybe the torture is that person's no longer with you anymore, and you have all these individual memories. You know, when you know somebody, you know, because there's so many different beautiful things, like let's just, like he has some flowers here. You become enchanted with it. You know, how tall they grow, how open they are, you know, reaching for the sun. And, you know, at times, you know, we can get lost in that image. And then those memories, because, you know, he brings such beautiful, beautiful imagery like sweet summer, sun upon the mountains, little children holding on to hopes and dreams, all nestled deeply in a vase of broken seams, entangled in the roots that hold steady, reaching out from the top like a wide open smile. You know, I could literally see this being personified as somebody that you love deeply and you grew up with since you were a child. And, you know, because he talks, you know, about this little girl and, you know, how she's dressed, and she deserves the wings of an angel. So that kind of, what the definition that Phil was bringing, you know, I kind of saw that maybe this was something the two are no longer two, and he's alone. And, you know, and I just thought, you know, it was very, it made me sad, especially where she said she's fallen like the petals. She's fallen into darkness. Yeah, so I'm still a little, you know, the other one is a medical term, solar one, and, you know, form is something, you know, so I don't know if, you know, because when we lose somebody, at least to me, when you lose somebody that dies, it just affects you, not only physically, spiritually, but also affects you mentally. So I thought this was just a beautiful poem of reminiscence that somebody's not here anymore.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm under that. I have the same impression there, that he's speaking about someone who's no longer alive. You know, I can't really, you know, muster up much in the impression of that. To me, I thought the language was eloquent. The language was very vivid. It was very, very mournful as well. But I thought the essence of the poem really struck home to me, and that fact that, you know, using the analogy of the flower itself, which I love flowers, but using the sunflowers analogy, because I have them out here where I'm at times, even when I travel, I see them. They're abundant throughout the state. And I just cannot help but going back to the image of just the sunflowers there. You know, these sunflowers at times are out there in the fields, and they get a lot of heat out here. But at times, you know, they don't get a lot of visitors at times. And sometimes, you know, when you read and you think about sunflowers and you read this poem, it makes you think about, you know, flowers themselves, just like us, they do need love as well. And I thought he did a great job using that analogy with the sunflower to a particular person that he, I'm not sure if he was describing someone that he loved or someone that he knew that he loved another person, but I got that feeling that it was someone very special to him, very deep as well.
Great comment, Frank, thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this piece. It was very rich in visual imagery and metaphor. I've always liked Luke Jr.'s stuff. His writing is very very layered, very complex. You can see a lot of thought goes into the construction of it and to the message that he's trying to put across. And I have had difficulty to single out one particular passage,
mm-hmm.
but I standing taller than those beneath her, she's a sunflower. Her face glows like the face of a sunflower, a beautiful flower. Upon the crumpled envelope lays words she wished to hear, holding tightly onto the vase of dreams. Her lover is nearer. Why does it feel like a sunflower as left with no light? And if you think about flowers in general, what is their purpose in life but to give beauty? And if they perish in that mission, in that accomplishment, there is no greater, no gracious end than to give beauty to the world. So maybe this her only purpose was to give beauty to the world.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, Lou, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. By the writer's fee?
Yes.
Okay. Speed dating, the writer's fee. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm trying to get closer to that lady by the door. 5, 6, 7, 8. I need to hurry before it gets too late. 9, 10, 11, 12. I need to speak to her before they ring the bell, making eye contact from across the room. 2 more dates, and I will talk to her soon. In poem.
Wow. I liked it. You know, it had a great flow to it. And you know, interesting concept of speed dating, you know. It's hard to get your mind around that whole rushing through things to get to the next date. And it's definitely a curious thing, for sure. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced it, but if you did, I'd like to know.
Only in my imagination, I would say.
Absolutely. What did you think, Phil?
I can imagine as a group, a room full of people, males and females, musical chairs. You know, it's a timer.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing someone who really sparks your interest over there. So many clicks away. You know, I imagine you get kind of impatient, and I can see him dealing with that in his poem. And I thought it was clever and well written. I read this a while back. So it was a great concept for a poem. And yeah, but he did a great job based on that. So excellent job, Curtis. Thank you so much.
A great comment. Thank you, Phil. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was very clever, very unconventional subject matter. I fortunately have never experienced this particular form of torture. Unequivocally and intractably old school. I don't do speed dating. I don't do online. I'm sorry. You know, I like it's fun, like shopping for things. Some things have to be touchy feely. You know, it's like ordering shoes. I don't know. It never works. Never works for me. I like the humor in this. It's taken a modern contrivance and lent to some humor to it. Making eye contact from across the room. Two more dates, and I will talk to her soon. I have been an iconoclast all my life, and I think in that situation, I would have said, fuck this noise, and I would have gotten up and gone across the room.
No doubt. Thank you, Bobby. That was a great comment. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, I actually like this because instead of picking up sticks, he was picking up dates. One, two, pick up dates. You know, I see these shows where they're all at a coffee shop and male and female sit there and then they'll ding the bell after 5 minutes. And then another, you know, it's the best way to get rid of somebody you like, I'm never going to date you. Okay. And I'm so glad the bell rang because you are gone.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of this, but I really do. I really enjoyed how he wrote this and took an old rhyme and he flipped it around. So I liked it.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next write up, and this is by Mr.
Did you ask Frank? You didn't ask Frank?
You better not ask me.
I want to know what you think.
Frank, what did you think?
We don't have time, but I'll be very brief. Several months ago, I did get invited to one of these things, but I'm not a fast talker. I talk really slow at times. But I thought the poem itself was just comical. And I like the whole notion there. although I don't believe in speed dating. Everybody has the right to do what they want. I do agree. It's not for me, but I thought the poem really emphasized the whole notion of, what it is to be social, and what it is to live in today's generations now, Today, this is how it goes now. And you think about the generations of today and, the time period we live now, this is what functions now. Perhaps not back in the past, but now these days, the speed dating seems to be the norm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my norm, but it seems to be the case at times.
So I've got the next write up, and this is by Mr. M, and it's called Faded Seams, and he has a SoundCloud, so we'll play that.
This is my recital of faded seams. Flesh stained with marks of shame caused by metal, glass, and flame. Parts of myself I would defame, wilting further the broken frame. It was a different kind of pain, distracting me from sorrow's reign, shunned and labeled as insane. Since I couldn't sustain the joyful fane. Now these marks that don the shell remind me of those trips to hell. Many stories this flesh can tell of when I crawled from where I fell. Follow these lines upon my skin to the shadows of the war therein. Trace these mangled badges of sin to the heart of the sadness within. There you will see the worst of me, despair unchained and roaming free, the product of timeless misery, etched by pain for all to see.
Beautiful read, and the poem is deeply melancholic and painful. You know, you can feel all of his pain as it emanates from his words. Follow these lines upon my skin to the shadows of the war there within. Trace these mangled badges of sin to the heart of sadness within. Like, how beautifully dark is that? Just a fantastic write and an excellent, excellent read as well. Great job. And what did you think, Phil?
You know, I thought this was so sad and so well said. You know, Robert has the darkness. It was really an excellent write based on the prompt, Scars. That was the topic he wrote for the Solace of Shadows. And I think that he really brought that out. Sadly, I couldn't pull up his it was just an excellent, excellent write. And as always, you know, Robert just has such a great way of writing darkness. It draws you into it, and you can almost feel the pain as you go through the week with him. An excellent job. So thanks for sharing again, Robert. Appreciate it.
Great comment. Thank you. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
When Robert first wrote this and I heard him read, I had to hang up because I was crying.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, all of us have gone through so many different things in our life, various different pains. And then, you know, you hear him reading those scars that we carry, that all of us carry. And, you know, and it's hidden. But, you know, what pains me is that it's seen in the eyes, in the face, and in the voice. But we have gotten into society where we don't listen anymore and we don't read other people's emotions and, you know, what's hidden. And, you know, and I told them, how does our hearts and minds appear if they could be seen in the heartache's agony? You know, the things, the sadness that you cut into somebody, especially if they're sensitive, and you, you know, to do nothing, you know, just to do nothing. And that hurts me deeply, you know. It hurts me deeply. That's all I can say, because if I probably start talking more, I'll start crying and have to hang up again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you for sharing. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is a very powerful write. Very deeply emotional. Very beautifully phrased. I mean, and the meticulous rhyming pattern, I think, lends to the emotion of the piece. I'm drawn to the center stanza. Now these marks that don this shell remind me of those trips to hell. Many stories this flesh can tell of when I crawled from where I fell. We tend to forget sometimes that we do wear our lives. Sometimes in our skin, and sometimes in our eyes, and just the way we react to certain things, because you know, everything we experience every day makes us who we are and where we are. And this is such a supremely well written. Follow these lines upon my skin to the shadows of the war within. A great phrase. Trace these mangled badges of sin to the heart of the sadness within. It's just, I'm going to tuck this one away in my favorite. This is, I think, a wonderful interpretation of the prompt.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've not heard much of of Robert until lately. And I have to say that I'm very much intrigued with his poetry, you know, and I'm very much inspired. You know, the darkness is, you know, when people write darkness, you know, we assume that that the darkness they're writing, you know, it's only metaphors, only imagery. We don't realize the personal nature of what's being written. You know, I could relate to this poem. You know, I think that he has a masterful ability, you know, not only with his writing, his voice as well. Because, you know, as an actor myself, a particular voice actor, you have to have a command of the voice as well to be able to, you know, make it seem, you know, relevant, make it seem real. And every time he reads my friend Robert, he makes the poem even more vivid. He just overall, he's just a great writer, and he's also a great reader or orator as well.
Absolutely. Excellent comment. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Phil, I have your piece up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
No problem. This was just something I knew I had floating around to do with stars. So usually I don't pull something up, but I said, well, I'll do it tonight. Flew you. A person. This is called Beauty to Behold. Hey. When sun is softly settled and the moon comes out to play, an overwhelming calm that settles on each day. In a certain silence when stars begin to dance and meet up in the deepest night, such a beautiful romance. Quick becomes their music as they dance up in the sky. Darkness is the backdrop and the clouds go drifting by. Sun surely watches as perfection does unfold, pulling gems up in the darkness, the beauty to behold.
Beautiful read, and it's such a serene, right, you know, filled with amazing imagery. You could feel yourself standing and looking up into the heavens as this poem is read. Heaven surely watches as perfection does unfold, sparkling gems up in the darkness are a beauty to behold. And this is such a serene and endearing poem. I loved it. Great job.
Lee, what did you think?
I thought this was just absolutely gorgeous. The imagery here was something that one could see with their eyes closed. I love that third stanza, breeze becomes their music as they dance up in the sky. The darkness is the background and the clouds go drifting by. That soft rhyme she has here, it just lulls you into each stanza, because each stanza is just beautiful. Beautiful poem, Phil.
Thank you, sweetie.
Great comment. Thank you, Lee. And Captain, what did you think?
You thought I wasn't going to catch that, huh? How much is by me? I really like this. I really do. The rhyming is melodic. I was sitting here thinking while I was listening to this, this is why I love poetry. I mean, here's storytelling, but it's with such a flourish. It has such panache. And breeze becomes their music as they dance up in the sky. The darkness is the backdrop, and the clouds go drifting by. I mean, just such beautiful visual imagery. It's serene. It just flows, and it's a wonderful brevity. So I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Bobby.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
I thought the poem. The poem was a beautiful poem. You know, I agree. This is a wonderful imagery. You know, this poem is construed with metaphors that are very much apropos. You know, I'm looking at the prompt now, which is a beautiful prompt, and I'm looking at the poem itself, and I can't help but be inspired by the vision of the poem, you know, the beauty and how much it affects us, you know, the influence of the stars, of the moon, of the night, you know, nature itself, and how much we can relate to it. You know, human nature, I've always said, goes with Mother Nature. I think you did a wonderful job here. It was very romantic. It was beautiful.
It just had a wonderful essence of its own creation.
Just between you and me, friends, listen to prom.
You're welcome.
But I get it. Because it fit together so well.
There is a compliment there.
Yeah, there was no prompt. It was all just out of my head, whether or not.
That's beautiful.
That's what I tried to say.
Yeah, I understand. Because the picture suits it so well. I understand. Very nice. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Okay, Bobby,
I was looking at the picture. That's why.
I've got your poem up, Bobby. I'm going to play that now.
A puddle of wax. Poem. It all began when I stood too near your voice. Low, velvet soft, fathomless, rolling out from deep in your chest, the intensity of your long silent feelings, your internal universe broken gently by your deep modulations. For your feelings began deep like your voice, and the sonorous tones felt like the vibrations of long ago, radiating out without limit toward eternity's black satin welcome. Your words glided off the end of your tongue, thick and rich, like frankincense-scented smoke, and found their way to my ear. Your lips wove a spell that lingered near my face, and found their way to my mouth, hungry for the sensation of you. The outside world vanished into the sound of your voice, engulfing me as you began to make love to me with your words. My stomach dropped, skin tingled, the floor opened into an abyss. I was in the deep end, searching for a non-existent bottom. My world was at once overwhelming sensation, without breath unless my breath, my oxygen, came from you. No heartbeat except that of the resounding echo of blood rushing through chambers that began in you and resonated through me, a drumbeat in my head. And when you spoke, I knew I could listen to you endlessly, for your voice, there wasn't merely a voice, but something so deep, so indivisible from my own consciousness that it didn't have sound, but resonance, harmonics so attuned to mine that the words of love you spoke passed silently, effortlessly through my skin and lodged forever in my heart, my being, my essence. At that moment, you became my core, the center of me. And now you are my wick. You penetrate the nucleus of my being, and I have become your candle, feeling the warmth of you, at first the light beginning life as a beautiful flame, hot and fierce, yet illuminating me from within, your spirit infusing me with its glow, for I can feel your passion within me, its light dazzling as birth. And now you are my eternal muse, the origin of all my radiance, the wick of you supported by my love, your love's fire a part of me. Encircled by my love, your spirit and soul stand brilliantly forth. Without you, I was as a cold, useless lump of wax. But joined now for always, we stand together, being consumed by our light, until it flares brightly, becomes memory, and all that remains is ash and a puddle of wax and poem.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And I like the poem that you wrote for Frank. It's quite endearing. When a voice taps my soul, that's a beautiful and powerful thing. You know, it was an amazing read and write, Bobby. Just incredible. absolutely fantastic from start to finish. So, well done. Phil, what are your thoughts?
Bobby, I think this was a fabulous write. Just loaded with imagery and emotion, and just line after line after line of wonderful descriptions and incredible thoughts, and just very well done. It's very hard to, I could go on and on and on because it was a wonderful poem and there was a lot to it. But just absolutely fantastic. So, great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great comment. Thank you, Phil. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was just beautiful. You know, when you're in the darkness and somebody can see you and they can light that flame that just burns. I love, there's something about a voice. It all began when I stood tuning your voice. And then you go low, velvet soft, phantomless, rolling out from deep in your chest. You know, that vibration that you feel. And then you just the imagery. I just got locked on to the images of the voice, like your voice and the sonorous tones, felt like the vibrations of long ago, radiating without limit towards eternity's black satin. And, you know, and you there's more beautiful sensations, you know, but the outside, this, I just, the outside world vanished into the sound of your voice engulfing me. Who does not desire that passion and want that passion, you know, it just, as you began to make love to me with your words. And, you know, that, I got a sensual poem you can write to Bobby contest for, that's coming up. Hint. Yeah, but it did. It just, until you burn out. This is beautiful. Sorry, Gray. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Wait, Frank, what did you think?
Oh, I'm wondering who inspired you for this poem there, Bobby.
Frank. I had to say it.
Well, I was wondering, you said something about velvet soft. You said rolling out from deep. But anyways, I thought the poem, you know, being serious here, the poem was one hell of a piece. First of all, if Pam was here, she would say, muy caliente.
Yep.
This was just a breathtaking poem. You know, I've always said before, you know, Bobby has a wonderful ability of using central, you know, imagery, central metaphors, central language that very few can do. And I admit, she's way better than me in language. She has a way better scope of range of using a diction command of language than I do when it comes to sensuality. And she's just magnificent at it.
Well, thank you. My goodness. I'm blushing.
Yeah,
that was an amazing poem. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I have your poem up next, Frank, so I'm going to play the SoundCloud.
Woo-hoo.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely.
Within the gloomy layers of the darkness of the night, there is a bright constellation of the sparkling stars, seen only through the magical lens of your exotic eyes. You stare into the depth of my dalliance in romance. Amidst the starry night, you are moonstruck by my guiding light, taking you to the furthest realm of the cosmos upon my heat, where you ride the celestial tale of our powerful passion, while we plunge our bodies into the secrets of a dark hole Imagine them as a luminous supernova created by our desires. Your hair is the only shade of space waiting for my caress. You are blinded by the beauty of my enrapturing reflection, for no light could shine more in the darkness of mine. I just want you to see the light of my impassioned glow. I could touch your lips with a stellified kiss to awaken your longing, release your lust from the cold moon, and ignite suddenly its central sun, till we make love beneath the canopy of the erotic universe, where the light of our fusion succumbs to the fireball of our seduction. Eres la oscuridad y yo soy la luz. You are the darkness and I am the light. Déjame ser tu estrella nocturna. Let me be your eternal star. Look for me tonight after the twilight. In the tongue.
Beautiful read, Frank, and a fantastic, endearing poem. I mean, you know, it's very sensual and seductive, metaphorically rich, and you can feel your passion shining through the words. What a passionate soul you are, Frank. Great, right. Excellent read.
Well, I have to appreciate that, and I appreciate for the quote there. I know it's from the contest, you and Louis' contest there, and the quote was, a certain mm-hmm. darkness is needed to see the stars, so I thought about the poem in the contest for it, and that's why I threw it in tonight.
Great. Thank you for sharing that, Frank. And Phil, what did you think?
Frank, I thought this was a fabulous piece. Yeah, I loved your take on that prompt, and what a great prompt that was. And I think you met that in each stanza almost, you know, you kept at it, you know, and it's beautifully done. Just lots of imagery, lots of feeling. It was very well worded, you know, and I just thought it was superb. So really a wonderful, wonderful job with it. And
Right. I appreciate that. Thank you very much there.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, you listen to the music and then you hear him reading this beautiful poem of passion, sensuality. But there's also, you know, the loneliness, you know, that I felt of, you know, two different images coming together. And, you know, that last stanza, it says, I could touch your lips with a stellified kiss to awaken your longing, to awaken that, you know, because sometimes it lays so dormant that there is some relationship that it's beyond dormant. It's ethereal. And, you know, and just listening to you, you know, this was so beautiful. Eres la oscuridad. Y yo soy la luz. Dígame, ser tu estrella nocturna. You know, and, you know, let me be your nocturnal star. Look for me tonight under the twilight. You know, and some of us, you know, search for that person in the twilight, in the darkness. And it gets, you know, if you're blessed, it gets revealed. And I thought this was very passionate and so emotional. I thought it was just beautiful, Frank.
Oh, gracias. Gracias. Thank you very much, sir.
De nada. Gracias a
Excellent
ti.
Comment. Excellent comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Why are you laughing? I haven't even said anything yet. All right, enough with the telepathy classes, okay?
Oh, you said so. I did not.
I know I did because I read your mind. I'm taking them too. Seriously, this is, you know, if Frank has accused me of being the master of vocabulary and language, I think Frank is the master of atmospherics, because each of his pieces creates such a tangible atmosphere through his descriptions, through his phrasing, through his voice, the background music. I mean, amidst the starry night, you are moonstruck by my guiding light, taking you to the furthest realm of the cosmos. I mean, that, and it just, it goes on. Your pieces are always very passionate, very sensual, but also very ethereal. And that's a delicate balance. To be that sensual without being base. You never indulge in that. And that is, you're a class act, Frank, I got to say. I really enjoy your pieces.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir. I try. I think
my
really quickly, really quickly, I think that when we write these types of writing, you know, or any type of writing for that matter, I think it's important that we incorporate, you know, in our imagery, you know, the sentience, you know, use every aspect of the sentience. That's what I try to do with my poetry.
We're done.
Absolutely. And, Lou, I've got your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Let me refresh. I wrote this a long time ago. I don't see the link. Where is it? Okay, it's above Luke. And this is titled Blackened Star. Sing the abyss, calling more darkness. Cover its tenderness, absorbing wet languages. Blackened stars, deep inside her eyes, where he wishes to reside. Energy's hungry craving, their soul's emotion, pulling towards heavenly, ebony orifice, frequency of waiting desires, vibrating inner cores, consuming lust and hope.
Beautiful read and a fabulous write. And congratulations on the silver medal that you won for this poem. You know, this is, it's a beautiful write. You know, it oozes passion and intrigue as well. You can see all this as, you know, as you read it. Sing to the abyss, calling more darkness, cover its tenderness, absorb in wet languages, blackened stars. It's a beautiful poem and amazing imagery and emotions as well. So, amazing job, Lou. Bill, what did you think?
Lou, as always, you know, wonderful piece. This is one of the shortest pieces I've ever read of yours.
Yes, I can write brevity.
I've never seen you do it. I haven't seen one or two, but just hilarity. But I think that, you know, as always, your imagery was spot on and wonderful. And you're so good at romance and love and passion, you know, whatever you write. You know, I started here, I was kind of looking to see what lines I could pull. Blackened stars deep inside her eyes and wishes to reside. Energies, hungry, cravings, her soul's emotions going towards heaven's ebony arm. Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, I could have just finished reading the poem. I mean, you know, it didn't have a bad line in it, and each one just, you know, deepens the thought. Wonderful, wonderful imagery.
And your use of words in here was great because you didn't, you were overboard. It wasn't too heavy, but you definitely met the criteria for brevity. You know, you said a lot with a few words and beautiful, beautiful work.
Thank you. Are you trying to tell me I'm not somewhere and they're going, I poppy.
I've been on those shows, Lizzie Wild.
You know I got to tease you.
Thank you.
Great comment, Phil. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, Lou, I think you found a new avenue of expression here, the brevity. You've created an atmospheric here, which is quite tangible and readily apparent. You've taken your title and you've threaded it through the entire piece, which is quite skillful, with terms like abyss, darkness, absorbing blackened stars, wet language, deep, through the whole heaven's ebony. You've got the title wandering through the entire piece, which is really a very skillful thing to do. And it tells a great story.
Uh-huh.
And very emotional. So you've done a great page. Don't stop here. Keep writing brevities, girlfriend.
Thank you, Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, even if it's a brevity, this poem is very, very central. You know, this, I'm sorry, but this was just romantic as well. You know, I can't help but be swooned by this type of poem. It just gives you everything, you know, in such less words. You know, you talk about, you know, the emotions, the soul. You talk about, you know, the eyes.
Yeah.
You talk about desires, and you talk about vibration, love. This has just had so many elements of, you know, of just of lovemaking to the best degree, I would say. And this is just a fantastic poem. I mean, I have to admit, I was swooned by this poem.
Oh, thank you. Maybe I should write more brevity. Thank you.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody.
Gracias a todos. Best.
Sipping Sable Symphonies by Silk Black Rose, and he has a SoundCloud. So we'll play that.
Sipping Sable Symphonies by Silk Black Rose. I read the ripples of your passing moons and the echoes of dying stars. Vermilion hues taint the twisted strands of my crumbling twilight. Tasting the dust of your kiss upon the lips of my purgatory, feeling every shade of quicksilver suicide beating against my ribs. Desire, growling beast in my bones, like sirens burning through my veins, silver sonatas bleed into scarlet symphonies. Your flavors burst upon my tongue while I die upon the throats of your gloom. Swallowing your sweet decay as my eyes sip the savor of your starving orbs. Sable embers swirl, black fire blazing across oblivion, inflaming my marrow, till shadows cover our horizons, and we rise, twin suns immolating, quickening, disintegrating, our ashes weaving into stardust, to waltz along the blessed dark.
Beautifully read. And, you know, this is deep, dark, and engaging. You know, it pulls you right through the reed with its darkness. I read the ripples of your passing moons and the echoes of dying stars. I mean, how epic is that to start off the poem? And then, our ashes weaving into stardust to waltz along the blessed dark. That's a haunting ending. And congratulations on the silver in the contest as well. Silk. Bill, what did you think? Oh, are you still there?
No, I think she left. She
has wrote something. She wrote something in the bathroom there.
Yeah.
Okay. Lou, what did you
getting
think?
The other shows ready. You know, Silk and I had been friends for a long time. And there is also, it's a different type of sensuality. You know, he dips into darkness. And, you know, like he says, sipping Sable Symphony. You know, this is just beautiful tasting the dust of your kiss upon the lips of my purgatory, filling every shade of quicksilver suicide, beating against my ribs. You know, his poems just start off and they just grow in fire and fire. And you just, you're entranced also by his poetry. You know, just saber ember swirl, black fire blazing across oblivion, inflaming my marrow. You know, just that dark love, just to me it's very vampirish, because you just want to go take a bite out of somebody.
Oh, God. Is it getting late that night? I'm covering my neck
so
there.
instead of having kissing booze, you can have biting booze.
Oh,
for the neck.
Go.
Ooh, that would be.
Well, I'm covering my neck there.
Okay, I'm done, Gray. Yeah, if you read it, it says, my muse twisted its dark, as she does with most things. So, he writes a lot of dark, sensual poetry.
Hello?
Did he drop? Where did he go?
I don't know. There's 2 minutes left.
I don't know where he's at. Okay, okay. Well, what did you think? Yes, yeah. So what did you think about his poem, Bobby?
Yes, absolutely.
I have to use the word atmospherics yet again. Very dark, but sensually dark. I read the ripples of your passing moons and the echoes of dying stars. It has a moribund quality to it, but it's just so sensual. It's just desire growing beast in my bones. Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
Someone said that to me. I'd be a puddle of wet. Beautiful, sensual, right? Again, it's your flavors burst upon my tongue. This is why, my friends, we read and write poetry. This beauty and the way this person has assembled words and created such a word picture and such a story, Sable Embers Swirl. Would you think of putting those three words together? It's just black fire blazing across a building. This is a really sexy, sensual, but dark, right? But it doesn't matter. It's just gorgeous.
Absolutely. Good comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, good comment?
Yeah, I know you're running out of time here, so I'll make it brief. I also agree. I mean, I've known Sue for some time. He does a wonderful job here. He's a master at this type of writing, you know, mixing sensuality with darkness. It's just a fantastic poem.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everybody, for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, everybody. Have a good night.
Have a good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Take care.
Besitos a todo.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, it's going to be hard to sleep after all that.
Probably tonight there, so I'm not expecting a bite tonight. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you.
Take care.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.